Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Welcome back, shall I say. I know I've been away for a while, but we're back. And you know what? Not just back, but we are back with a bang. Today, I have some wonderfully awesome guests for you. They've trained. Oh, yes, have they trained? At the University of West London, and also the Bridge Theatre Training Company. They created a production company back in 2014, putting some comedy into real-life people and real-life situations, as well as, that's not just it, they are celebrating the lives of the LGBTQ plus community. Let me welcome you to the show, Adam Hannigan and Hello. Jimmy Jameson. Hello, guys. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
You are more than welcome. I am excited, as you can probably tell. How are we doing? Good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's a nice sunny day. I had a little drink earlier. I'm buzzing.
It's been very sunny.
I'm not buzzed.
No, very different. That's very, very different. That. So, Adam, Jimmy, let's delve straight in. Firstly, I want you just to tell the people a little bit about yourself. Adam, you go first.
Well, I am from Northern Ireland, and I graduated in 2015 at University of West London. I am a mainly comedy writer and actor and director on occasion. So I'm one of the co-founders of Ear to Ear Productions. I've lived here now in London since 2012. And yeah, so as an openly gay man, I'm trying to write stories for the LGBT community kind of thing, putting them at the forefront of stories without dwelling on the classic traumas that we see within the community, like coming out and HIV and all those things, just telling like normal stories that have just queer people at the front.
Awesome. Very good. And Jimmy, and you?
Hello. Yes. I'm Jimmy. And I was working with Adam at Drury Lane. And that's how I got into the show. Basically, I think as the eye candy, I'm so good looking. I think it's because of that. But yeah, so I've been basically for years just not doing very well at acting and just doing lots of side jobs, hence why I met Adam. And yeah, and so then I've been with the show ever since the start of it. And so it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm the sort of person that literally is the one where you'd always go like, oh, he'll never make it. Oh, he'll never do it. You know, I've been one of those people. But it's quite fun actually doing something. Thank you to Adam, who's here today. I'm so grateful. So yeah, I'm in the cast, by the way. This is the thing. So I play a part in the cast. I'm Tom in the cast, and I'm married to Kate, and we're the perfect, I think it was what we called your cishet white male couple, you know, that sort of thing. And it goes steadily downhill from there.
Wow, awesome. We shall get on to the show that Jimmy is talking about a little later. You worked at Drury Lane together. So just to kind of give people an idea, what shows were on then?
Well, whenever I worked there, it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then it went into 42nd Street.
Okay.
And I think when Jimmy worked there, it's when the theatre first ever opened.
In 1663, yeah. Charles II and Nell Gwynn, lovely couple, invited me.
Yeah.
But it's a family show, so I won't get into that. But yeah, I was at the same time, I was the start of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and we're both, you were there till the end, weren't you, Adam? Till the end of,
yeah.
It closed, this big refurb. And so we left with 42nd Street, and then I went to the Palladium, the London Palladium, and Adam was there as well, but sadly for Adam, no one really remembered him there. But I was there during Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, and we were in Adam, were you working when it all, we were there basically until it closed for COVID? So the day the Palladium closed, I was working that shift. So that was fun.
No, when COVID came around, I was then working at Hamilton, the Victoria Palace.
Oh.
And I remember they were like, we're closing for the day. And we all thought, great, what a day off. Cut to 2 years later.
So what did you do after that? Like,
well, not much for Adam. I can speak for him.
Like, COVID hit?
Do you mean after the pandemic? Do you mean, sorry?
Yeah. So kind of you left there not knowing how long this was going to go on for or what to do or where to go. Like, what was next? What was your plan? What was your thinking?
Honestly, I didn't think it would all go as long as it did. So for the first couple of months, I was just enjoying a long summer, thinking this is great, having cocktails every day and playing board games with my kids. And then when it got really serious, as in like furlough stopped and financially I was in a really struggling place, mm-hmm. I ended up having to move back to Ireland for a little while, which wasn't easy for me because I've got quite a love-hate relationship with Ireland. But the good thing about it, which I've always said about the pandemic, is it allowed so much creativity to come from. So I got loads of writing done, which was really great, actually, because I had nothing better to do. So
good. So some positive come out of it.
Yeah.
And you, Jimmy?
Oh, I mean, I'm sort of the person that kind of was always
sat around and just looked good.
Yeah, I just sat by the window and people just throwing at me. It's great. No, I actually had a minor breakdown, I'd say, because I was already I panic kind of things like this. So as soon as it was the day off, I was literally like, this is going to go on forever and it's the end of the world. And so I immediately panicked. And I'm also not very good at not doing anything. I'm terrible. I can't binge watch. I wish I could. I did get into Borgen, though, a Danish political drama, which is lovely. But I end up writing a little book on Amazon about witches. That was fun because I do a lot of drawing. And I then got myself in at a COVID test center as a marshal.
Wow.
And which was also an STI clinic. And it got very confusing when we used to say to people, are you here for your test? That's a true story. That's a true story. That's not a lie. And so it was quite the time I had there. And then, I was constantly drawing and making. Oh, I made me and my friend Jess, who is also in Game Night. That's Game Night. she's also in covering the part of Claire. We did a Good Morning TV couple. So we grabbed our Instagrams and we did it like the TV show had been booted out. And we were these two sleazy pairs. I was this guy called Hugh Divisive. And we walked around London as the TV show and getting people to Instagram in, which I think, Adam, you did, didn't you? We forced you to do it. And
forced the keyword.
Yeah, and we were just horrible people. And we didn't realise we were kind of predicting the future slightly. Yeah, and I was Hugh Divisive. I was very sleazy. Quite offensive, and she was Anna Bland, this very bland lady who just giggles and smiles, but really she's vicious, and really he's not a nice person, who's a bit of a, let's just say, he'll give you a hug and won't stop. So I did that during lockdown as well.
Wow. Sounds like fun. So kind of you were on the other side of it, really, like with the marshalling and stuff, kind of watching people get jabbed up.
Well, the West End was really, I mean, I have to say, what I did miss, I didn't miss people vomiting on me and dealing with fights and everything else like that. But the West End, the trouble is everyone knew each other. Everyone knows each other, more or less. And they were gone. Everyone had gone. Like, it was very, very weird. And it was quite, I'm used to a busy world and loads of people. And all of a sudden, everything's gone. So I had to make myself busy. Mm-hmm. So, put myself in the test center and that was fun. But got a jab as well. Brilliant.
Fair enough. Perks of the job, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that's a great insight into both of you, really, and kind of where you're from. Let's get some hard-hitting questions in. What was your reason for writing the show? Kind of more towards Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, you could aim that at Jimmy. He loves to write his own letters. Anyway, so it was like in 2017, and I just graduated university in 2015. So there was that 2 year period where kind of not a lot was happening for me in my career. And I'm a firm believer that, like, as an actor, you have to know your casting and be comfortable with the limitations of that casting. And I just found that there was no jobs out there that were offering roles for the kind of character that I play. So I'm just one of those people, I'm like, if you can't find the work, make it yourself. So I decided to write a show fully with the intention of centering myself as the main character. But as I wrote it, it just developed more and more. What did you say?
Typical.
But it just developed more and more. So it became an ensemble piece. Yeah, I just wanted a new project to work on because the company at the time had finished a project and it was very much, we had done it a few times over a couple of years and it was very much that, okay, we're done with that now. So it was kind of like, where do we go next? So I decided to write something.
Wow. Okay. So your inspiration came from the lack of material out there, really? Would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of roles out there for queer actors and stuff. And I also don't believe we should ever put ourselves in a box and only play queer characters. But as a relatively flamboyant comedic actor, that's my niche. And a lot of the time, the only roles that I was getting for that kind of casting were like the side characters, like the roommate or the guy that works in the local shop. Like it was always a small bit. And I was like, well, why can't those characters be the leads and tell their own stories? Kind of thing like that. But inspiration wise, I mean, I've always been inspired by like Will and Grace and Friends and things like that.
Cool. So more of the sitcom sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the show's very much a sitcom on stage. I do think it could pick up very well and get put onto a screen in front of a live audience and would work just as well.
Awesome. That sounds great. But well, Friends is filmed in front of a live audience, so kind of is a stage show that's filmed, so yeah, it sounds like you're going in the right direction.
Exactly.
What would you say your big ambition in life is? This is for both of you.
Jamie, would you like to go first?
Well, I thought you were gonna ask me about the writing, but I do add a few of my own lines, but my big ambition in life, just to be I used to really want to be famous, and so I wanted to be an actor, like, you know, when you're like younger, so I really wanted, you know, if I be famous, that'll solve all my problems. Turns out it wouldn't. And I like being very creative, so my big ambition is to kind of be in lots of comedy stuff because I like making people laugh, and then also doing my like little arty sort of books, and then make a TV series about history because I've got some history things. And then live in Copenhagen and also Toronto and have a little place in London, but other than that, not much really. Just the little things, you know, but like make people laugh, that's one of my big things is if I could do so. I like doing game night because well, frankly, I can take anything I can get, to be honest with you. And not just in my personal life, Jazz. Also,
fair enough. No.
But, but game night, you know, it's so fun. I mean, I think the best thing is when you're hearing people laugh, that's I'm a happy boy. That's all I care about.
Fair enough. Which parent were you trying to make laugh in your childhood?
That's a really good question. I think both. My dad's really funny, but not like I am funny. He just comes out with some serious sort of thing and it'll be hilarious. But I think probably my mum.
Okay.
Because I can really make my mum laugh. But also my dad, he had to work a lot. He could get quite stressed. Not like violently stressed or anything like that, but I just mean like you come home, you can tell, you know, we didn't have much money. And so if I could make them laugh, both of them, it was very good at kind of, I don't know, cheering everyone up, I suppose. Not that we're miserable. We've all got the same sense of humor in our family, though. We're all quite we like it. Laughing is one of my best things, and making my nan laugh, that's one of my things. So I love to make my nan laugh.
good. And Adam,
about who I like to make laugh?
Your big ambition in life.
Oh, sorry. That's it's very similar to Jimmy. like I love making people laugh. And I would like to do that through as much of my own work as possible. I used to also want to be famous, and I use that with air quotes, but it's not about the fame and being like a celebrity. It's more about the idea of I want to be successful. I'm very competitive and career driven as a person. But yeah, I think I just want to, like, there's, to me, if your job is laughing and having a laugh and make people laugh, then what a great job.
Indeed. And enough people make a career out of it. So
yeah,
definitely possible. So outside of making people laugh, any other hobbies or interests? Anything interesting? Jimmy, you mentioned drawing earlier. Want to talk a bit more about the witch book?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's called, what the hell is it called, actually? I've got it right in front of me. I should know it. I wrote it. but I did it during lockdown. And then you can hear it banging now because I just knocked over a load of books to grab it. Witchory, which is, so instead of witchery, it's witchory with an O. And it's called A Case of Witchcraft by the Witchfinder General. And it's basically this man. And like, you know, the witch stories, they're quite sad. You know, they're quite horrific. And it kind of takes the fun out of everything. So I was like, oh, I want to do the real cases of the witches, but I do it from his perspective. He's the witch finder. So it gives you the sort of fun stuff, like they're witches and this sort of thing. And I let the audience, and when I say the audience, I mean my mum, make up their own minds as into, did this really happen? Or were these people just being horrible to these women? But give you a bit of the fun, like, you know, they traveled through that. And it's just a little book, but it's got more of my drawings than anything else like that. And yeah, and I do like, I've got an Instagram site called Jimmy Doodle. And so I did the artwork for Game Night as well. So they're my drawings, which is quite cool. But obviously we're a podcast, so no one can see them. But yeah, that's what I did.
Interesting. I was going to ask about the imagery for Game Night UK and who did that, because it's great fun. And that answers one of my questions personally, just for me. That wasn't for the show at all.
Well, I have to credit as well. So Jensen, our also produces the show, he said to me, I really like the sort of pop art Brady Bunch in the boxes, the characters being quite defined. So I have to give him this credit, because otherwise he'll kill me and he will listen to this. So it's a collaboration. So he's saying to me, this is what I want. So we got this sort of pop art sort of feel to the show, which actually works, because we associate the colors with the characters and it gives them, you instantly know who they are, the kind of cartoony, which helps you kind of, oh, that's that person, you know.
Yeah,
this is the first time I've ever heard you say that it's a collaboration.
Because he will listen, Adam.
For five years, yeah. Him and Jensen have fought over who created that poster.
Yeah, we really have. He's very serious. We're very funny, me and Adam. Yeah. And he can do comedy. I have to say that he's listened to all of this now. So he can do comedy. He can be very, very funny. He's a very talented actor. He's in Bridgerton sometimes. We did collaborate over the artwork, but really, I'm the artist. If I ain't drawn it, then he wouldn't have got it. So yeah,
you're gonna make his day, Jensen. This is for you. Yeah. You're welcome. And Adam, anything that you like to do apart from writing and making people laugh?
I'm really into horror. So I'm kind of obsessed with horror. Whenever I'm not doing any other comedy, it's just horror.
Wow. Do you find that is the balance? Do you find that's the yin to your yang because of the comedy?
Well, you see, the thing is, I actually always think horror and comedy go hand in hand. I don't think they're that different. Like, so the stuff that I'm quite inspired by is like Scream and stuff, which is quite slapstick in itself anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of is, it's, I think when people see me and see how like giddy and jokey I am, they're quite surprised then that I love really dark horror the next moment. But if you get to know my personality and how unstable I am, it kind of makes sense.
So which parent were you trying to make laugh?
You never met him.
I don't know, because my dad's very sarcastic and I love sarcasm. But as I've gotten older, I'm the clown of the family, so it's kind of just whoever wants to give me attention. Really,
okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So your time within theatres, you two must have met famous bods left, right, and centre, surely.
Yes.
Anyone that springs to mind because of an interesting story?
I've got a few. Adam, what have you got?
Well, this is what's so annoying. So yes, I've worked in theatre for ages, but I never got to meet anyone famous.
Wow.
The closest thing in London that I have is I've got this imaginary feud going with Gok Wan.
Okay.
Oh.
Because every time I run into him or come in contact with him, it's in a really negative situation. So I just developed this thing in my head that we hate each other. he doesn't know who I am. Because the first time I met him was in Soho, and I walked directly into him while he was carrying loads of stuff. And I mean head first, like I headbutted his chest. He's very tall in real life, and he was not happy. And I was like, I'm so sorry, sorry. And then the next time I came in contact with him, I was working in a vet as a reception, and he was calling about his dog getting a surgery, but he called through his assistant's number, and we weren't allowed to give out their details.
Oh.
So I was having this fight with him on the phone. I was like, I don't know who you are. And then he was like, I was like, can I take your name? And I was like, G-O-K-W-A-N, okay. And then I read it back, and I was like, oh my God, that was Gok Wan. And I was having a full-on fight with this man on the phone. So I have this imaginary fear that we hate each other, but he has no idea that I...
Sounds like a cute meet to me, if I'm honest.
Right?
Adam, do you know my Gok Wan story?
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I also had a feud with Gok Wan.
Should we join forces?
Yeah. So, and you know Bunny Galore that does the podcast with James?
Mm-hmm.
Bunny Galore is friends with Gok Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I was working in the Big Top Man in Oxford Circus when I was at drama school. Hated it. It was horrible. It was just like Devil Wears Prada. But I was in the fitting room, and you're not allowed more than 6 items in the fitting room. And for some reason, God knows why, he came to the fitting room and didn't use the celebrity fitting room. They had a celebrity one that I used to have naps in.
He came along. That is a secret.
There was a celebrity one. And he came along to the normal fitting room and said, oh, you know, I've got 12 items. And I was literally like, well, I'm afraid you're only allowed 6. And he's like, can I bring them in? And I was like, no. I was quite firm about it. And he's quite annoyed. And he was a bit like, well, do you not know, you know, who I am? Literally, I don't think he said, do you know who I am? I'm not too sure. I don't think he did. But along those lines, because I think he had like some sort of deal with them. It was when he was doing his fashion show. But I was like, absolutely not. And off he stormed. And everyone said, do you not know who that was? I was like, no idea. There's like, it's Gok Wan. It's Gok Wan. I was like, oh, never mind. but so also a feud. But I've got a better celebrity story. I've got I've got a couple. Anna Wintour. She came to Drury Lane for the Evening Standard Awards. She did them. And they lost her sunglasses. And I've never seen a bunch of calm and collected people panic the way they did when they couldn't find Anna Wintour's sunglasses. And I had to stand next to Anna while they were trying to find them. And she did smile at me. And then the other one was Patti LuPone. If anyone likes musicals, I had to look after her for a bit. She was lovely. I didn't have a clue who she was, though. Wasn't really into musicals. And then the other one was Michael Caine. And he needed a quick way out. He had a Zimmer frame. And they didn't want to see him in the Zimmer frame. And he was like, can we do a quick way out? I was like, yeah, sure. I know a good way. I think I commandeered the situation. I don't think anyone was talking to me. Anyway, took him out, and I took him straight smack dab into a press huddle. And those pictures were everywhere. And if you Google Michael Caine, Andrew Lloyd's 30th birthday, it's me and Michael Caine and me pushing Michael into a press scrum with a bunch of paparazzi. So my quick way out was horrific.
Wow.
Google it. Honestly, Google Michael Caine, 70th, or Michael Caine Zimmer frame. And that's me and Michael Caine. It's lovely.
I can add on to the Anna Wintour story as well, because I was working that day as well. And I was the daytime manager, and it was near Christmas, and they were setting up a party, and we had a Drury Lane, it was like 20-foot Christmas trees, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going, it was. So I was eating the wine gum.
Okay. And all her little minions came up to me, and they were like, Anna doesn't want the trees there. And I was like, where do you want me to put a 20-foot Christmas tree? I can't just put it in a cupboard. But I had just gotten off the phone with my family, and that day my uncle had passed away suddenly. So I was not in a good mood. And I snapped and I was like, tell Anna Winter she's not getting to meet with Chris Tree. So I got to say no to Anna Winter, which is quite exciting.
Wow.
Because not a lot of people would say that in Spike.
Yeah, Doc Wan wouldn't say that. Wouldn't have the guts.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Very good. Very nice stories. Funny you both had a Doc Wan story and didn't know by the sounds of it. So you've been doing this a while. Somebody who's fresh out of drama school, what advice would you give them if they wanted to perform or even go ahead and write their own show?
Don't do it. No, I'm joking. Advice, if you're going to write your own show as well, the advice that I'd give, just because I've seen people try and balance it with also like a full-time job and things, it's you need a really flexible job so that you can give 100% of your time to the project. And if you just want to be the writer, you have to be okay with giving your work to a director and walking away, because the director will change things. I am not good at that, hence why I direct it myself. But I also have Jensen, who kind of co-directs with me and helps me through it, because we've got the same image. And then we've got Jimmy, who does what he wants on stage anyway. But yeah, the advice I would have is, if you're going to do it, you have to give it your 100%. And I wouldn't put too many eggs in too many different baskets, because it can be quite overwhelming. And if you're wanting to do a new project, you want it to be the best it can be. So that's the advice I would give. But I also think everyone should do it. I think every actor has the ability to write a story, because every actor are storytellers.
Fair enough. Jimmy, favorite part you've ever played? Hit me with it.
I'm going to have to say Tom in Game Night, simply because I've not played anything else. No, I've played other things. I have done other things. I really loved when we did, everyone's done this at drama school, a play called Road. And I had multiple parts, but I used to love we had this little part at the beginning where I was called the brother. And I'd have to basically slap my sister around the face, not slap around the face, but I could just be a bit pervy and a bit weird. And I love the weirdos, and he was a real weirdo part. But my favorite part is Tom, because he means a lot to me. So, yeah, so I'd have to say that he's my favorite one.
Good. Any pre-show rituals?
Oh, we did.
Shot of vodka.
Really?
I'm not even joking. We normally do a shot of vodka
if we're
on stage.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Any reason behind that?
Nerves.
Just for courage, Dutch courage, okay, to be honest.
Okay. Just purely Dutch courage. There's no.
Yeah. We do. We count to 15. We close. We stand in a circle.
I do like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. We stand in the circle, and I got this from, I used to do Chekhov, and it's about the energy. And so you have to close your eyes, and we count up to 15, but we don't know who's going to say the next number. So we've got to go. And if you say the number at the same time, we have to go back down.
Start again. Yeah, I've done that before.
And then we massage each other in a circle, and we've got to say, I've got your back, I've got your back. And then we turn around and we do the other person. So we're always a team before we go out. Like, we're a real team. We go out as one. So even though Adam comes out first and he's on his own, we're all kind of with him, sniggering behind his back. But, it makes us a team, you know?
Very nice. That sounds lovely. That sounds very relaxing. Okay, so I sent you over some questions that I was going to ask you during the show. However, there was one question I did not send you.
Dramatic.
And it's a question that I ask every guest on my show. So if you've listened back, you may already know the question. If you and your life was a show, what would it be called? And not a show that already exists. A completely made up show. Jimmy, you go first.
It's just coming to my head. I don't know why. It'd be called A Cure for Insomnia.
Nice.
And it would be about the mundaneness of life and trying to not go against the hardships, but go against the mundane things that happen in your life and still have hope.
Nice. Adam?
That was a much better answer than mine. I actually, this sounds so big-headed, but I would just call it the Adam Show, but hear me out. It's because me and my friends always joke, like anytime something dramatic happens, we're like, oh, that must be the season finale of the Adam Show. So we always joke that it's like a new season as we get older. And then we moved to London, it was a whole new season and things like that. So, and anytime anyone annoys me, I'm like, you know what, I'm writing you out of the show. Like it's an ongoing joke with my friends.
Very much. I didn't know you had friends.
You wouldn't. We don't talk to you.
Okay, good one.
Yeah, so probably the Adam Show, which sounds horrible.
No, sounds wonderful. Like,
it's not meant for children.
No, it definitely not.
Does that mean I'm now a cameo in the Adam Show? Is that what you're telling me?
You are more than welcome to be a recurring character if you'd like.
Oh, wonderful.
Adam, it's a family show.
Yeah, and I'm married, Adam, so but it's fine.
Oh, Adam's gone.
Oh, funny. Very, very good. See, and I like that. And especially when you have multiple guests on, you get very different answers. It makes it good fun. So I realize I have taken up enough of your time. So the whole reason you are here, I need you to talk about Game Night, the show that you are performing, have written, are going to bring the houses down with. Tell people about it, where it is, where they can get tickets. Just feed me the information.
And do it quick, Adam. You've got 2 minutes.
Shush. So the show is called Game Night. It is an adult LGBT plus comedy. It is at the Wonderville Theatre in Haymarket, and it's on between Wednesday the 7th of June to Thursday the 13th of July, every Wednesday and Thursday. You can buy your tickets either through the Wonderville website, or we are sharing it all on our socials, or you can also get it on fever.com. A little bit about the show, a little synopsis that I may or may not be holding in my hand because I can't remember it. It's a snowy winter evening in London, and Michael has invited his closest friends over for a thoroughly planned out game night to announce his engagement to his fiancée, Jacob. But with his eccentric and trouble-riddled friends arriving and spiteful relatives crashing, it doesn't go exactly to plan. Trapped in a house together, more alcohol being drank and more secrets being revealed, will Michael and Jacob even make it down the aisle?
Wonderful. Wonderful, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Adam, Jimmy, I would just like to say thank you very much on behalf of me and all the Andram fam that are listening out there. Great fun. Please do go and see their show. Please do support it. Adam, please. Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
You are more than welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
At Podcast.